Hello everyone, and welcome to the first episode of Murder, Mother and More. This is... Fucking, I don't even know what I'm saying.
What are you trying to
Honestly,
say?
Honestly, I don't know.
If you are one of our Patreon listeners, thank you so much for subscribing to this channel.
I just came on. We're off to a great start.
So as you can
see so far, this is a much more relaxed, you know...
Relaxed.
Informal, informal. Setting. Compared to our main show.
Could it actually be any more informal than the other show?
I think for me and my mum, we just wanted this to be a place where you can just get to know us a little bit more around all of the editing that makes us sound at least semi-professional.
Debatable, but these are shorter stories, but with a lot more chat, I think.
A lot more...
Related topics and things as well.
We are going to explore cases that are a little bit different, maybe, in theme and topic to the main podcast.
As well as murder episodes.
As well as murder, yeah. It's going to be, you know, still the same kind of vibe, like disappearances, but we'll also dive
Mysteries.
Into some, yeah, mysterious cases, some kind of paranormal, maybe some conspiracy theories, that kind of vibe. Because it's also stuff that me and my mum are interested in as well. As, like, you know, the classic murder or kidnappings and stuff like that.
Speaking of conspiracy theories, though, it makes me laugh, you know, because with the dawn of the internet and everything, of course, people can research things much more and can the more aware of things. But everything's a conspiracy theory now, and it isn't always a conspiracy theory. I'm sure there are, you know, in some cases can be, you know, attributed to that as well. But it's not everything is, but now.
No, everything is now.
Everything is. Just literally, if somebody trips over, somebody's planned that and there's something to be gained from it. You know, it's like that, isn't it? And it was like the Nicola Bully thing a while ago, you know, where the lady fell into the river. I mean, I don't know, me and you both followed
that closely, didn't we?
Yeah, I think because it was like, it was British, wasn't it, as well? And it was so mundane. It was just an ordinary thing, you know, that many people do go out and walk your dog. And then this lady just never came back, did she? But the amount of rumours and theories and the main thing about it was the people that were going down to the actual site and walking all over the crime, if it was a crime scene, because they didn't know at that point, did they? You know, and they sort of put two and two together and come up with like 96, don't they? Now, I'm not saying there wasn't. I really don't know. But it just seems like she just had something going on and fell in the river. But
well, I think these extra episodes are a good chance for us to explore a little bit, you know, of more different kind of topics that we don't discuss on the main podcast. And we're going to do it in a slightly different format where we both tell a case on these episodes. So you get two cases for the price of one, basically.
Yeah, I love anything that's a bit sort of out of the ordinary, that isn't just your run-of-the-mill kind of case.
Yeah, so
you know,
get ready for some weirdness coming from Patty.
Well, where you can kind of interpret things the way you want to. Which, you know, isn't always out of the realm of possibility, isn't it? What is your favourite sort of... If you had to have an answer to anything, what would it be? Maybe a case or an answer to some kind of theory. For me, it would be things to do with time travel and things. That is, I've always been interested in that. I've got no answer to it. I'm just saying it's something I'm interested in.
My top thing, I would love to know who the Zodiac Killer is.
Do you know what? That is so strange you should say that. And I always say, don't I? And this is another thing, right? You know, like psychic ability, and people laugh at it, don't they? And some people don't. I think we're becoming more aware as time goes on that, you know, your senses, there's things that we've lost over the years and things. It's like when they say about a mother's instinct, you know, when something happens and you know. But I always think that since I think that we've got something like that between us, and I don't think you have it with everyone. Like you said before, when I was calling you, you were just going to put your finger on the...
Yeah, most of the time when I think, I'll ring my mum in a minute, she rings me that second. Yeah.
And vice versa. And there was a story that I always tell, which I don't know whether you remember, when you were a kid, and we moved into a new house, and you were in the back bedroom, and I think you were probably about maybe four at the time, something like that. And I was in the front bedroom in bed. You should have been asleep, but you weren't. And I didn't know that, though, because you were across the hallway. So your bedroom, even though it was at the back, the curtains were closed because you were all going to sleep. And I was in the front bedroom and I saw a falling star. I'd never seen a falling star. I saw it out the front bedroom window. And then I got up and went to check on you to see if you were asleep, to check you were okay. And you opened your eyes in bed and you just looked at me. It was just really strange. And I said to you, what's the matter? I said, guess what I've just seen? And you went, a falling star. And it was just the weirdest thing. I'm sorry. There's no way you could have seen that because it was the opposite side of the house. Why on earth would you say that? So you explain that to me because I've never forgotten that, right? And you had this weird smile on your face, you little weirdo. Right, so, but explain that to me because I can't explain that other than some kind of psychic connection, right?
Yeah, that is weird.
So I don't know. I've got no answer for that. But the Zodiac thing, I watched the film actually about 2 days ago. Zodiac on, I think it was on Prime actually, but, and there's so many different suspects
that would definitely be my number one, because I think it's one of my favourite cases in terms of, it's a case that I find probably the most interesting.
There was quite a bit of evidence really when you think of it now, but maybe at that time there was just no way to process it the way you can now, but you know.
I just find cases really interesting when it's like, when they kind of toy with people as well, and he sent all those cryptic notes and all those letters and all those puzzles and things like that.
And even ran into a radio station, didn't he?
Yeah, and I find stuff like that really interesting. And the fact that it's never been solved as well makes it just that little bit more interesting for me.
He's up there, isn't he? There's Jack the Ripper, there's the Zodiac. There's a few cases like that, isn't there? And as time goes on, it gets less and less likely. The thing I find interesting about the Zodiac, though, is that how many people have come forward to sort of name their father as the suspect or something.
It's even worse now with TikTok and everyone's dad's the Zodiac killer or the granddad.
You know, if you found something in the basement, like some kind of Zodiac, because he used to wear like a hood, didn't he, over his head with the symbol on. Have you got a favourite suspect for that, or do you not want to say now? Should we do the Zodiac another week?
Yeah, we'll cover the Zodiac on the main podcast, I think.
I always say this because we've covered this case, but more and more. And really, in the scheme of things, it's just another missing persons case. But I always imagine her. She was a student that went missing in America.
We actually covered that case on the main podcast, so if you haven't listened, go and listen.
But it always intrigues me that, because for some reason, I don't know why, it's like you sort of get attached to a case, isn't it, sort of thing. And I always, when we were talking about time travel before, I was thinking, I would love to stand at the side of that road and just be a bystander and watch what happened. Because it just kind of haunts me, that case. You know, she was driving down this snowy road at night. What the heck happened there? So, for me...
Mum, you can swear, you know. You can say hell. You don't need to say heck. Who says heck?
I'm trying to be PG.
What the heck?
What the hell? Okay. So, I'd like to see what really happened there. And the other thing I want to ask you is, what is your favourite conspiracy theory that people say are a conspiracy theory, then?
My favourite conspiracy theory is... Oof, that's a tough one, because I love a conspiracy theory.
It's whether you believe it or not as well, but I'm just saying what people say.
Do you know what? In the theme of what we're probably going to talk about a lot on this podcast, my favourite at the moment is the Malaysian Airlines MH370.
Oh, God, yeah, I forgot about that, yeah.
Because I recently watched a podcast on it on YouTube, and it was really, really eye-opening. It was the most in-depth podcast I've ever listened to about it, and it really had a lot of... things about time warping and black holes and all this type of stuff. It really piqued my interest.
Do you know what I think is the most frightening thing about that? Because they come up with a number of theories, don't they? One is the pilot was on a suicide mission, blah, blah. And another one that they came up with was that the plane could be remotely controlled by other governments and things, if for want of a better word. And that really scares me, the fact that someone could possibly intervene and divert like a plane.
Someone could, but I don't think it was that.
I don't know what it was. I'd need to look at it again.
I think there's more to the story than we know.
Do you think that plane went down though?
Or I don't think the plane went down either, no.
Well, where do you think it is? It's floating around in space somewhere.
I think it's been... I know this is going to sound absolutely wild, but I think it's been, in no other words, like teleported somewhere else.
Okay, so...
Well, actually, yeah. I mean... Does that mean the plane's gone down? I have no idea, but I think it's been transported through time and space somewhere.
That's not as sort of unthinkable as you're actually saying, really, because that during the, I think it was the 50s or 60s, there was a government plan, and they say that's what actually happened, but with a ship, so it's not out of the realms of possibility, is it? My favourite conspiracy theory is, The famous one, I suppose, is 9/11, isn't it? Because, you know, I've got no idea about that, really. But I'm just saying, people are intent on saying that's a conspiracy. But my favourite one is the Roswell incident, where they were supposed to have captured a flying saucer. Yeah, which I believe to be true, you know, and they tried to cover it up, but that's another thing, isn't it? Whether you believe it or not is up to you.
But actually, I was going to say as well, we've got a new little setup here. I bought us some podcast arms, like microphone holders, and I tell you what, it's a game changer. Do you not think this is much easier?
Yeah, but I'm just sitting in front of a Sky satellite dish at the moment, so yeah, I can't even see anything.
They're called pop filters that you put in front of the mic, because every time I say p or b, it like pops the mic.
And anyway, apparently I slurp my coffee as well, so...
And my mum slurps down the mic, she bangs her rings all over the table. And
like this.
Because at the moment, with, you know, our lack of investment in the podcast, we're currently sat at my mum's kitchen island in her house, and this is where we film everything from. So anyway, we've got a little bit of an upgrade, so that's good. And with that being said, I think we should get on with telling some stories, do you?
Yes. Are you going to go first today?
Yeah, I'll go first today. So this is a bit of a wacky kind of time slip kind of story, which I think you'll quite like.
I love a good time slip, mate.
That sounded weird.
Take it out then.
No, we're not taking it now. That's the point in this one. People want to know what we say behind the scenes.
Well, now people are going to think I'm weirder than they already think.
You are weird.
I know.
Okay, right, here we go. You're driving through the Nevada desert. The road is endless. Dust swirls under your tyres. Stars stretch forever above you. You have... Sounds like a fucking poem, this, doesn't it?
Do you know what this sounds like? It sounds like the beginning of the Invaders.
Mum, I'm only two lines in.
I know, but it's just that what you're saying sounds like that 1960s programme, if anyone's as old as me, the Invaders.
No one was alive in 1901.
And a flying saucer comes down. Don't tell me a flying saucer's going to come down.
Mum, let me finish. Okay. You haven't seen another soul in hours. Then, just as the gaslight flickers on, you see it. A diner.
Yeah, he pulls up at a diner because he's tired in the Invaders.
Mum, are you going to keep doing this?
Probably.
Neon lights, a glowing sign, the Desert Sun Cafe. It's exactly what you need. A warm booth, a slice of pie, a friendly face. Wait. Let me do that again.
A coffee would be my first thing.
A warm booth, a slice of pie, a friendly face. But what if that diner shouldn't be there? And what if it wasn't? Tonight, we explore a story that begins in 1954 with two ordinary people and ends with a mystery that still haunts Nevada's Highway 375 to this day.
Okay, you know Nevada, though? It's a really weird place, isn't it?
Because I'm going to get into it.
And weird stuff happens in Nevada, doesn't it?
Because what is the name of...
Roswell.
No, it's the highway, isn't it? It's definitely in the story. They call it the Extraterrestrial Highway.
Does it lead to Roswell?
Or? It must do, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's just a vast expanse of sand, isn't it? Desert, you know?
John and Elise Mitchell were newlyweds, 23 and 21 years old, driving cross-country in the summer of 1954. A honeymoon road trip from San Diego to Chicago. On July the 13th, just past 2 a.m, they were somewhere near the Nevada test site on what's now called the Extraterrestrial Highway. God, I can't talk.
It's that brace, isn't it?
Tired and hungry, they spotted a glowing neon sign in the distance. The Desert Sun Cafe. A small, squat diner just sat off the road.
You wouldn't think that was weird, would you, that it was called the Desert Sun Cafe? Because you're in the desert, so that looks pretty real.
Well, and also, if it's 2 o'clock in the morning and you're driving along and you're desperate for a drink or a coffee or something to eat or the toilet even, and you see this big glowing diner, you probably think, get in, come on. The lights were on, the sign buzzed, and a few vintage cars were parked outside. Inside, the smell of coffee and bacon. A waitress in a starched blue and white uniform greeted them with a smile and a strange phrase. Glad you made it through the dust. They sat, ordered pie and coffee. John remembered the music, Glenn Miller, playing fairly faintly on the jukebox. Elise noticed something else. The people. They were quiet, distant. A man at the counter turned too slowly. A woman with a baby never moved. A family of four dressed in clothes that looked decades out of date sat completely still. Elise would later describe it as a place that felt posed, like the people were props in someone else's memory. They ate quickly, paid in cash. The waitress signed the receipt with a flourish. Thank you, M. What do you think so far?
Well...
It's a bit eerie, isn't it?
Well, I think the fact that no one's moving just kind of threw me. I could get on board with the rest of it, you know, as in you think, well, it's just an out-of-the-way diner, so it could be old-fashioned. Or it could be like a theme kind of thing. So, you know, the vintage cars, the uniform, signing
a
check.
Yeah, it could be like a purposeful thing.
Signing a check, you know, with your actual hand rather than on a computer or something. But the fact that no one moved, would you not be in your... I'm not saying the lying, by the way, but I'm just saying, would you not find that really strange that no one's moving?
Well, maybe you would, but is it... It's 2 a.m. in the morning, you're in the middle of the desert. Maybe it's like you've just got, like... I don't know. It's like a tiny little diner.
Yeah, but
it's like the Hills
of
Eyes kind of vibes. Like, it's just a bit creepy,
oh,
isn't it?
It's like that pub in the American Werewolf in London where they go in, the slaughtered lamb, and everyone
stops.
Yeah, do
you know what I mean, though? Like, yeah. It might not feel that out of place considering the situation that you're in and where you are in the world.
And they might have just glanced at them and just not really paid any attention, and it became apparent later on that, you know, that was a bit strange because no one really moved, you know, maybe that kind of thing because you're tired.
And the waitress signing it just with her initial M. Why would you even sign a receipt with,
yeah,
you,
that's
with your
what,
initial
that's what,
anyway?
That's what I'm saying, though. It's like, it's going back to a bygone age, that isn't, when you actually had a pen and you wrote with your actual hand rather than on a computer or a till or something like that.
The next morning, they told the story to friends in the next town over, Tonopah. No one had heard of the Desert Sun Cafe. Determined to prove it, John and Elise drove back. Same stretch of road, same landmarks. No diner. No sign, no tire tracks, just sagebrush and sand. They searched for 2 whole hours. The spot where it should have been was nothing. Elise got out and walked around. No disturbed ground, no foundation, no debris. Just an overwhelming sense that something was watching. When they returned to their motel that night, Elise emptied her purse. Inside was the coffee receipt, yellowed and ink smeared. Still legible, thank you, M. No one could ever trace it. No records, no permit, no mention of the Desert Sun Cafe in any business registry, phone book, or map.
Hmm.
Now that is a bit freaky.
Well, no, that's weird because you're saying this is a time slip, so...
Well, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying...
Well, that's the point of the story, isn't it? That they've encountered this place that it doesn't exist in this time, so you would think that it was from another time, but there's no record of it ever having existed.
There's no record of it ever having been there or anything.
So that kind of, to me, would say parallel universe, that it's another timeline that they've slipped into rather than a time slip going backwards or forwards.
Like another reality kind of.
Well, it wouldn't be forwards, would it? Because, well, I suppose it could be, because it could have been like a theme cafe.
Well, just put yourself in their shoes for a second, like... You've stopped at this place. You've got a bit of a weird feeling while you've been in there. You've just drank your coffee and got out as quick as you can. And then you've gone to your mate's, oh, we stopped at this weird cafe last night, and they've gone, what cafe? And you've said, oh, the Desert Sun Cafe, just on, you know, Highway 375 or whatever. And they've looked at you like, there's nothing even there. What are you talking about? And you've gone back to the exact same place, and there's literally not, it's just sand.
But I'd drive back, and because you've been there and you'd actually encountered this cafe, you would think you'd gone the wrong way, wouldn't you? Keep driving around, that'd just do my head in.
2 hours, I said they drove around for.
Oh, I'd be driving around for 20 hours.
I was going to say, I'd probably stay there the whole day just trying to... But that must mess with your head, mustn't it? Thinking, no, we were in there last night.
I've heard a lot of stories like this, though, and I just think it is like a glitch in... Well, you know, that leads you on to another thing, isn't it? A glitch in the Matrix. Are we all just, you know, is this a big computer game type situation and people mess with you all the
Black
time?
Mirror.
Which?
Black Mirror.
I haven't seen Black Mirror. What's
oh,
that?
You need to watch it.
Is it a film?
No, it's a series on Netflix.
But all these things are based in... I mean, there's so many things you could talk about, isn't there? There's that... the Montauk?
What are you saying?
It's... Well, there was a film called The Philadelphia Experiment where they made a ship disappear. It was like they opened the fabric of time and it travelled kind of... And it all went wrong. And it's called The Montauk Project. And they tried to deny it, but, you know, evidently something happened there. But they're doing all kinds of weird stuff, aren't they, the government, and we don't know about it. So all these things that you're watching, where do these ideas come from? You know, they're all based in something.
That's what I always think as well, yeah. They've got to be based on something. Otherwise, why would that even pop into your head to think of that?
So, you know, it depends what you think about time and space, doesn't it? Is it a straight line going from A to B? Can you bend it so that the two end points sort of connect? Can you travel through, the calling it wormholes, aren't they, and things? Can you open the fabric of time? Because that's what they say time is. It's like fabric of time and space. I mean, I'm not a, you know, an astrophysicist or anything.
Are you not?
But no, but I'm just saying, you know, these are, from what I read about, all sorts of things that they're doing now, or have been doing for a number of years, and I just totally believe it anyway.
Right, anyway, the story might have ended there. Just a weird tale from a weird night.
I thought it had ended there because you stopped.
It had not ended there, no.
Carry on.
Just a weird tale from a weird night. But then, 7 years later, someone else disappeared. Margaret Sloan, Maggie to most, was a waitress in the nearby town of Caliente. Her sister described her as a walking time capsule, obsessed with 1940s culture. She wore... Sorry, the dog keeps going up and down the stairs.
Which dog is it?
It's Bunny.
Which dog is it? Oh, God.
Hiya, Bunny.
She makes a lot of noise for such a small dog.
Okay.
Bunny's a chihuahua.
She wore old uniforms, played big band records, even practiced calligraphy with a vintage pen set.
Oh, I love calligraphy. We did it in school.
In June of 1961, Maggie told her sister she'd been hired at a new cafe. Something special, she said. Something out past the old test site. She packed a suitcase, took her car, and vanished. Days later, her car was found abandoned by the side of the road. The keys were still in the ignition. The passenger seat, empty except for a receipt. A coffee receipt, signed M.
Don't tell me.
Police never found her. No body, no foul play, no clear reason for her disappearance. But the detail that haunted her sister the most, she remembered Maggie once saying, "If I could live in any place, any time, I'd work at a diner in the middle of nowhere." What's going on there then?
I've no idea.
That is bizarre, I'm sorry. The fact that she's got the receipt on the passenger seat with M on as well.
And is this all actually real? Is this document just being a real story?
This is a true story.
That is weird, yeah.
So, I mean, it's a true story as far as the internet says.
Okay. And did Maggie never turn up again?
Maggie was never found. No body, no nothing, no evidence. The only thing they found was her car with the key still in it and with that receipt on the passenger seat.
I'd like to see this receipt, wouldn't you?
With the letter M on.
I know, it's just giving me chills.
So that's the, one. I mean, well, that's the only thing that connects the two different scenarios, isn't it? It's the only thing the that receipt. Connects.
Well, apart from the fact that it was a non-existent cafe in the middle of the Nevada desert, yeah?
Yeah, exactly. So what was the Desert Sun Cafe? Was it a hallucination? A hoax? A dimensional rift? Some theorists point to the concept of time slips, moments where reality overlaps with another era. Could John and Elise have stumbled into a pocket of the past? Others think it was a mirage, a shared dream, brought on by fatigue and the monotony of the desert. But that doesn't explain the receipt. And then, there are the locals. Nevada folklore tells of echo places, buildings that appear and vanish, trapped in time. Some say they're scars left behind by atomic tests. Others think they're attractors, places where people get stuck. One thing is certain. Since the 1950s, 7 people have vanished along that same stretch of road under very strange circumstances.
Okay, so I think, if this story is actually true, that there are places where certain factors come together, like a perfect storm. Whatever those factors are, I don't know, but maybe weather, maybe the type of landscape it is. And for some reason, it can open like some kind of, as you say, a pocket in time. Do you know what I mean? And you can slip into it and maybe never come back because you get trapped there. Or you could maybe just walk out the other side and sometimes not even realise it.
I just, stuff like this just blows my mind. I know it's kind of borderline, not even really true crime. I mean, it is because this girl went missing and that's part of the reason why I did this case, and I did it because I knew that you'd go mad for it because you love this type of stuff.
I do love this kind of stuff, especially because in Liverpool we've got our own time slip in Bold Street, apparently.
Was it an old sweet shop or a furniture shop or something?
It was, I think it was a clothes shop. Oh, was it? Yeah. Or something. Just at the kind of about of,
and multiple people have actually said that they've walked
more or less the bottom sort
to
of
a different era in there, haven't they?
And then come out, and it's just been, and there's been a number of stories about it. Now whether they're all true or not, I don't know, but I don't know whether it's got something to do with, there's different theories, isn't there? But you know, you've got the underground, you've got the tubes really close by at the bottom of Bold Street. So is this some kind of electrical thing, as I said, some kind of magnetic kind of, I don't know, things coming together where just for a second it can disrupt the pattern of time
or whatever, or yeah.
And you can just kind of, or like it says, maybe an echo. I really don't know. I'm not saying I know about it, but there's been too many things happen, really. But I would just love that, you know.
I know, and I think it's just a weird, story, isn't it? I found it interesting. That's why I wanted to tell.
Yeah, it is interesting. I mean, it's all interesting. I've read loads of stuff like this, so. It's not unusual, really.
I know you find interesting. Honestly, we'd be here all day if it was down to me, mum talking about this stuff.
Well, because you've got to look at the universe and how big it is. And
you get a 4-hour episode just out of my mum talking about
this. Yeah, because you've got to look at the universe and you've got to be really... what's that word?
Naive.
Not naive, no, just...
Stupid.
Well, that's one of them, but...
Dumb.
When you're self-important, you know, to think that us on this tiny little planet are the only things that are going on. And we just don't know enough about things. So people laughed at, I used to say this to my friend, you know, because she used to say, If you can't see it, I don't believe it. And I said, well, you can't see electricity, can you? But years ago, people would have laughed at that, you know, 200 years ago.
Suddenly, but isn't that also quite ironic? Because we're taught by people in higher powers to not even believe what we see anymore as well.
Well, because it's they manipulate everything now, don't they?
So that's one, but that's funny, isn't it? Because people say, oh, if you don't see it, you don't believe it. But actually, when you do see things as well, you're also told not to believe it.
Yeah, but also as well, when you do see things, people are laughed at, and that's the main...
That's what I mean, yeah.
That's the main way they sort of debunk things, isn't it, really?
Yeah, it's like by mocking people into thinking that
yeah,
it's so
especially
stupid.
People who've got careers on the line and things like that. So, but what I'm saying is, like 200 years ago, whatever, when electricity, you know, became a thing, people were frightened when it was introduced because they didn't understand it and they didn't even know it was there because it was there, but you couldn't see it. So therefore, they've harnessed it now. What is to say that there aren't other energies and other strange phenomena
that are just not
harnessed? But I actually think at this point now, the government are harnessing things that we don't even know about. Or
definitely.
We're seeing sort of glimpses of it, but of course they're not going to admit to it, are they?
Okay, let's wrap this one up. A couple, a receipt, and a diner that may or may not have ever existed. The Desert Sun Cafe has never been found again. No photos, no physical proof, just a story, and a name signed with an M. Maybe it was a mistake, maybe it was something stranger, or maybe Maggie finally got the job she always wanted.
Good on you, Maggie. I'd love to go back in time. If I could go back to the 1970s, I'd stay there. I wouldn't come back. I'd be like Back to the Future. I'd be like Michael J. Fox, wouldn't I? I'm about the same size.
You're more like the professor.
Thanks for that. I love that film as well, you know. Do you remember when we used to go on holiday to Florida sometimes and we'd... What was my favourite ride? Remember?
The Back to the Future.
Back to the Future.
Bloody driving a car all around the mad place with the glasses on.
Well, it was like a... What's that thing they call
it?
A simulator, wasn't it?
Simulator, yeah.
Oh my God, I loved it. And wouldn't I would try and get everybody to go on it with me 15 times on the run. I loved it. See, I've always loved like time and space since I was a kid. So... When I was about maybe 4 or 5, I used to look out the window and point to the moon and tell everyone I came from the moon, which is debatable whether it did come from the moon. So I've always been like that with time and space and travel. I've just had a thing for it. So.
Right then, your turn.
Okay, on to my story now. This is not quite as weird as yours, but it's also got, you know, it's an unfinished story really, so we still don't know. It's open to interpretation what happened.
I would still say it is quite weird as well, to be honest.
Well, it is weird because there's no answer, is there? So that's always weird. But this is about a man who goes on vacation with friends, a young man as well. He gets into a minor scuffle, injures his ear, and stays behind as they fly home. Okay, I'll start again. What? I need to rewind you because I went into the story without...
I know, I don't know why you did that.
I don't know why I did it either. That's why I'm stopping it now.
Right,
you
just
what you say, if you walk into the wrong room, walk out as soon as you can.
What? And
or
go back in?
There forever, which is a bit like that diner story.
Wait, or go and go back in or just stay out?
Well, you know, if you want to go back in and start again, that's okay as well.
Right, you should start again now. Go.
A man goes on vacation with friends. He gets into a minor scuffle, injures his ear and stays behind as they fly home. What happens next is one of Europe's strangest disappearances. Security footage shows him at an airport, calm at first, then suddenly terrified. He runs from the building into the trees and he's never seen again. This is the story of Lars Mittank and the mystery that's never been solved. What's that name? Itzehoe.
What?
Oh, for fuck's sake. Itzehoe. Itzehoe.
Who's a hoe?
Itzehoe. Oh my God. That could be a good song, that, couldn't it?
It's a hoe.
Okay, Lars Mittank. Oh, why is this always me? Lars Mittank was a 28-year-old German man from Itzehoe, a small town in northern Germany. He worked as a power plant technician, no criminal record, no mental illness. Quiet, friendly. He had a girlfriend, a job, a life. In late June 2014, Lars went off on a summer vacation with 5 friends to Varna, Bulgaria, a sunny, budget-friendly resort town along the Black Sea. By all accounts, the trip was typical. Beaches, drinking, soccer games. Until June the 30th, when something changed. Lars got into an argument at a bar, reportedly over football. Lars was a Werder Bremen fan. The others, Bayern Munich. What the hell? Is that how you say it?
Bayern Munich.
That's Bayern.
It is Bayern. And Bayern. I think that's Werder Bremen. I just wanted you to read it.
I'm not a football fan, so we're doing it.
Okay.
What, Werder Bremen and what's that?
Bayern Munich.
Bayern Munich.
Yeah, just carry on. We've got the point.
No, I'll see what I'm going. Lars was a Werder Bremen fan. The others, Bayern Munich. Just banter, supposedly. But later that night, Lars was allegedly beaten by a group of men outside a fast food restaurant. The fight didn't seem serious, just a scuffle. But Lars ended up with an injury to his ear.
Do you know what I always find hilarious? The fact that grown men will fight over a game where you just kick a ball.
Oh, it's just ridiculous, isn't it?
Isn't it crazy?
It's sad, really, you know, because you see this all the time. There's always incidents of, like, hooliganism and different things at football games. And it's not the majority of the fans. It's always the minority, isn't it? And specifically, people go to cause trouble, don't they, just for the
fun of it? Well, I just think, what are you even arguing over? It's a bunch of 22 lads kicking a ball around a big grass pitch. And you're literally arguing like your life depends on it.
But it's the sportsmanship thing, isn't it? That's what it is. It's supposed to be a sport. And in sport, you know, it's two teams against each other and the better ones win. And that could be anyone on the day, couldn't it? Do you know what I mean? Depending on circumstances, how they play, etc. So when you go to watch a football match, why don't they go in with that mentality, that mindset, that somebody's going to win and somebody's going to lose, and it might be your team either way. So you just shake hands at the end of it and that's it, isn't it? But it's awful. You don't get this at music concerts, you know. Everyone just goes and has a good time.
I'll also just say there's been absolute riots in Paris at the moment. Did you see? A couple of people have died and stuff as well. They cancelled all flights to Paris from Manchester the other day because...
Was this a football thing?
Yeah, because I think it was the Champions League final. Don't quote me if I'm wrong. It was some kind of football final and it was Paris Saint-Germain against Inter Milan. So a French team versus an Italian team. And PSG won 5-0 and there was absolute murder in Paris. Like, and I mean actual murder, like people have died.
I'm glad
I've seen some
footage
of it and it's horrendous. People like throwing bottles and chairs and it's just, it was an absolute outbreak of just horribleness.
The next day, a doctor at a local clinic diagnosed him with a ruptured eardrum and prescribed an antibiotic called ceftriaxone.
Oh my God.
so what is it?
Ceftriaxone.
Where shall I go from?
No, carry on.
Ceftriaxone. Because of the injury, the doctor advised Lars not to fly. A ruptured eardrum can be painful at high altitude. So while his friends flew home on July the 1st, Lars stayed behind alone. He checked into a cheap hotel near the airport, the Hotel Colour in Varna. That's where the story begins to twist. So the first thing I'll say about this is, why did his friends all just fly home and leave him on his own? Why do boys always do this? Girls don't do this as a rule. They always look out for each other and stay with each other, you know.
Well, I can only think that, like, the lads have probably thought, well, I can't afford to stay in a hotel for another night because you've decided to get in a scrap and injure you, so we're getting off. See you in a bit. Good luck. Have fun.
Yeah, but surely one of them could have stayed with them. I mean,
well, I'm sure they probably could have, but...
It's so unsafe to stay in a foreign country, I think, on your own, though, especially...
Well, you also don't ever think the worst, do you? You don't think, oh, he's going to end up going missing.
I know you don't, But then it's all very well saying that, isn't it? And then something happens and then you can say, well, I didn't think it was going to happen, but it wouldn't have happened if everyone had stayed with him, probably. I mean, he's had an injury as well, so why didn't anyone look after him?
I think using the word injury, yeah, it is an injury. It's not a serious injury, though, is it? It's a ruptured eardrum. Like,
yeah, but you're
on antibiotics. You could still walk. Yeah, but that's just because of the altitude. It's not because he can't fly. It's just because it hurts when you go high up. Like... I can fully imagine he can still just get on with his normal day-to-day life with a ruptured eardrum on antibiotics. Like, it's not hindering him in any way, really.
Okay, but I just think it's mean.
Well, there you go then, that's fine.
While staying at the hotel, Lars began acting strange. He called his mother, Sandra Mittank, in a panic. "Mom," he said, "I'm being followed." He claimed four men, possibly the same ones from the bar fight, were after him. He told her to cancel his credit cards. He whispered on the phone as if someone was listening, and then he vanished from the hotel. Later that day, he texted his mom again. He was okay, he said, just hiding. He'd spent the night in the woods. When he finally resurfaced, Lars made an appointment to see a doctor at the Varna Airport Medical Office the next morning, July the 8th, 1 week after the bar fight.
So he stayed in Varna for a whole week?
Well, if he's taking these antibiotics, it must have maybe... taking him that long to get better, do you think?
Well, yeah, but I didn't think it would take a whole week to get over a ruptured eardrum, to be honest. Or at least to the point where it's, like, healed enough that you can potentially fly back.
I know, that's a bit strange. I mean, maybe he couldn't get a flight, or maybe he was just too scared, and he was in hiding, and he, you know, he was sort of biding his time to go public and get a flight home.
So it sounds like he's definitely paranoid. Whether he's got a reason to be paranoid or not, we don't actually know, but I wonder if it was, if he was being followed, I wonder if it was the same fellas from the bar. What's the likelihood, though? Because it said that the fight wasn't even really that serious. It was just a little scuffle with a couple of lads over a bit of football. Are they going to start hunting them down because of that?
I don't know. Nothing would surprise me, because people take football very seriously, as we know. What happens next is the last confirmed sighting of Lars Mittank, and it was caught on camera. At around 5:55 a.m, Lars arrived at Varna Airport. He checked in with the airport doctor for a follow-up. The doctor later said that Lars appeared nervous, possibly paranoid. When a construction worker walked into the office, just a routine maintenance visit, Lars jumped to his feet, mumbled, "I don't want to die here," and bolted. What follows is chilling. The security footage shows Lars sprinting out of the airport, leaving all his luggage behind. He runs across the parking lot, through the front gate, then into the forest that borders the airport. And that's it. He is never seen again.
So Sutton spooked him, hasn't it?
Well, do you want to know what I think?
You're going to say something about the antibiotics he's on?
Yeah, but I think there was more to this. I think, as you said, it seems like just a small thing for someone to be hunting him down. I think he's had a more serious injury that they've not picked up on.
Do you think, yeah?
I think it's been, you know, some kind of brain thing, maybe. Well, you hear it all the time in boxing, don't you? You know, and you hear it about people being punched and they fall to the ground and bang their head. It's been a hard enough blow to rupture his eardrum, but it's...
Oh, postman's here. One sec, guys. The dog's going to rip up the post.
Okay, can we retitle this episode Massacre at the Mailbox, please? Because the dog has just got hold of the envelopes.
And also, I know we said it was going to be a bit more informal, but we meant a lot more informal, because this is just a mess.
All mistakes included.
Yeah. Go on, you were saying about the injury.
So I was saying, you know, people have been punched, you know, especially when it's like one of them punches you don't see coming. And it's probably done a bit more damage than they thought.
Well, also, like you've just said, even in boxing sometimes, the initial aftermath, they seem okay, and it's only a couple of days down the line where you start realizing that actually that's done something to them.
And it sounds like the doctor at the airport didn't even have a chance to really examine him.
I wonder what it was about that construction worker coming in that set him off, though, because that's what it seems like has been the trigger in that moment.
I think it could have been anybody walking into that office. I think he was just paranoid that somebody was out to get him. And we don't know that that's not true, but it sounds more likely to me that it's caused some kind of brain injury that they've not picked up on. And anybody coming in his, you know, state of paranoia would trigger him to run.
Unless it's a bit of both, really. Like, unless it has been a bit more of a serious injury, and maybe someone has been kind of following him as well, and it's made him
it's magnified
extra paranoid.
It, yeah.
It's magnified the whole situation.
But also, those antibiotics he was taking, I mean, who knows what effect they had on him, you know? It doesn't mean to say they agreed with him. It could have been a combination of things, couldn't it? But for him to just run out of the airport...
It's so random, that, isn't it? And he's left all his luggage as well.
It sounds like he's delayed that flight as long as possible because he was too scared to get on the flight. Police searched the surrounding area extensively. Dogs, helicopters, volunteers. No trace of Lars. No body, no clothing, no sightings. His phone was off. His passport and ID were still in his backpack, left behind at the airport. His family launched a private investigation. His mother appeared on German talk shows. Billboards went up across Europe, but there was nothing. To this day, Lars Mittank remains a missing person. So what happened? So there's a few theories here. Theory one is there was some kind of psychotic episode, which is what I was just saying, really. Some experts believe Lars may have suffered a sudden onset of psychosis, possibly triggered by a head trauma from the fight or a rare side effect of the antibiotic he was taking, which has been linked very rarely to psychiatric symptoms in some patients. A paranoid episode could explain his behaviour, hiding in the woods, whispering to his mom on the phone, fleeing from imagined threats. But if this is true, why hasn't anything been found?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I forgot to mention that before as well, about the fact that he'd actually already been in the woods prior to going to the airport to leave. He'd rang his mum and said, "I'm in the woods." That is just...
I mean, whether he was actually in the woods at that point, I don't know.
Well, why wouldn't he be?
But maybe he's been sort of hiding out around the airport, you know, and then waiting for his time to go in and get his flight or whatever, I don't know. You know, thinking I'll come out when the time's right.
When he deems it to be safe.
But it doesn't explain why they've not found anything. I mean, dogs have been in, so they would have picked up his scent, so where did that go to? It's just bizarre, that, isn't it? Another theory is foul play, so others believe Lars was telling the truth, that he was being followed, and his death or abduction was covered up. Was the bar fight more than it seemed? Was he involved in something he hadn't told anyone about? Still, how did no one see anything?
Yeah, I actually don't. The more I'm thinking about it, I don't think it's that. I don't think it's anything to do with this bar fight, if I'm honest. In terms of, like, it being the reason that he's disappeared.
I don't think so either. It definitely happened, didn't it? But, I mean, also, you know, you don't know who you're dealing with, do you? So, it depends how much he's offended someone, doesn't
it? I mean, it's definitely a valid theory, but it doesn't make sense to me, that one.
For him to run out of the airport and then disappear completely, those people would have to be right on his tail to know he's ran out of the airport and be able to locate him in the woods. So to me,
and also, how would they have known that he was going to do that?
That's what I'm saying. It doesn't follow, does it? It doesn't make sense, really.
It doesn't make sense, yeah.
Judge Judy always says, you know, if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's a duck. And this isn't a duck.
Okay, yeah, let's carry on.
Okay. And then there's another theory, which is voluntary disappearance. And this is a less popular theory, which suggests Lars wanted to disappear, to leave his life behind, but it doesn't hold up. He had no history of mental illness or instability, no signs of depression. He loved his family. He had plans on a return flight.
So, and that's the end of the sentence.
Yeah,
you carried on like there was more.
I was trying to merge it into another sentence.
It's not that one.
I don't think it's that, because there would have been sort of signs, I think, before. It's weird, really. There's a few cases, I think. I won't say them now, but there's so many cases like this where your men disappear. And then, you know, one of the theories is always, were there other issues going on? Did he do it? Was it a voluntary disappearance? You know, there's just so many of them. I could name like five just right now. And of course, they've got to take that into consideration, but you've got to look at the big picture, haven't you, Sam?
I think he
was fine before his ear injury.
Exactly, yeah. And I think all of the stuff added together, regardless of what happened, whether he's been abducted, killed, whether he's disappeared on his own or whatever, why is there no evidence anywhere?
Yeah, where is his body?
Where is anything? Where's his stuff? Where's his clothes? Where's he? His shoes?
Even if he'd run into the woods, I mean, I don't know how big these woods are. They could.
Well, it said it's a forest that's on the edge of the airport. But what I'm saying is,
but they would have combed that.
That's what I'm saying.
Really,
they know where he's ran because they've seen him on camera running there. So that's a good starting point, at least.
And they would have looked at CCTV footage surrounding those other areas coming out of the forest to see if he'd come out. So, but it's like he's just vanished, isn't it?
That's the most bizarre part to me.
If he'd have got lost in the forest and, God forbid, died there and decomposed, he would have found him.
But they would have found something, wouldn't they? Like, you hear of it all the time. Sometimes they find, like, bone fragments and skull fragments and stuff like that. But it seems like there's absolutely nothing left of him.
It is really bizarre, this. I mean, do you know what I think? I think he's ran into the Nevada desert and come across that Sunrise Cafe, and he's sitting there with, what was her name?
Sunrise, Mum. Desert Sun Cafe.
Yeah, the Desert Sun Cafe with M, whatever her name is.
Yeah,
they're having a cup of coffee.
Signing the receipts.
Yeah.
No, this is very bizarre. I think, yeah, like I said, the most bizarre thing for me is that there's no trace of him.
I suppose any of those theories are sort of, you know, plausible, but say there's one that's more likely than others. But what do we know? Lars Mittank's disappearance has become something of a digital urban legend. His airport footage has millions of views on YouTube. He's called the most famous missing person on the internet. And yet, his case remains heartbreakingly real. A mother still waits, a life still unexplained. Every few years, someone claims to see him, in Canada, in Greece, in remote parts of Eastern Europe. But so far, nothing has panned out. A man walks into an airport, he's afraid. He runs, and he's never seen again.
That's creepy, isn't it?
I think it was the way I read that. I did that good, didn't I?
Yeah, you did. Well done. But do you know what? I was just going to say as well, I completely forgot to say before. It says he left his bag in the doctor's office with his passport and money and everything in. So
he wasn't starting a new life, was he?
Exactly. And if he was...
So we can rule that out.
To have even got away from that airport or whatever, how's he getting anywhere else? He's got no money, he's got no passport, he's got no phone.
And why would you even bother going to the airport if you were going to do that? Unless you were planning to go on a different flight or something, but...
I'd love to know what happened to Lars.
See this? Have you seen the footage of it? Did you see
it? No, should we watch it now?
Watch it now and then we'll come back.
Right, we've just watched the video, and that is weird.
See, I was going to say before, though, didn't he climb over like a mesh sort of, what are they called?
Yeah, it's like chain on the outskirts fence. Of airport.
Yeah,
airport.
And it's really high as well, and he goes up it like a rabbit down a hill,
I think,
doesn't
he? On the video, you see him walking into the airport, he asks a woman, it looks like
looks
what
like
seems to
the
be
directions or something,
yeah.
To the doctor's
and then
office, yeah.
All of a sudden, I mean, he literally bolts out of that office, like he runs, but then I think once he gets out of the airport, turns into a little bit of a jog, it looks like to me. It doesn't look like he's in a massive rush once he gets out of the initial airport.
Well,
but he just keeps moving.
But possibly, though, because he doesn't know where he's going, so he slowed down to try and...
To try and figure it out, yeah.
Yeah,
and then he hops over that airport fence, and then that's the last time he's ever seen.
But he goes up that chain link fence there, and it's really high. I mean, did no one think to stop him? Maybe there was no one around, but he just goes up the chain link fence, over the other side, and then towards the woods, and that's it.
And also, on the video, we didn't mention this before, but he's got a bright yellow t-shirt on. And I think if his body was to have been in the woods somewhere, you're not missing a yellow t-shirt, are you? It's bright yellow.
It's yeah, quite a seen him,
like it's quite a strong characteristic to look for.
Yeah.
Like it's a defining thing, isn't it? Or even if he was hiding or something, he's got a bright yellow t-shirt on.
Well, I suppose he could take it off, couldn't he? I don't know, do you?
But... Oh yeah, I didn't think about that.
Yeah, but.
But if you're that panicked in that kind of state...
Detective skills 101.
Yeah, I know, but if you're that panicked and he's running like that and he's scared, the last thing you're going to think is, maybe I should take my t-shirt off.
He just goes into them woods and he's never seen again. Where the hell is he? Unless that's another thing, isn't it? I mean, has he lost his memory completely and he's ended up as a homeless person or... Surely when they're looking for missing persons, they would search that. And I'm not being funny. He's very distinctive. He's quite handsome, isn't he? He looks like Liam Payne,
lad,
doesn't
yeah.
he? Has he One Direction, so...
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's a bit baffling.
It's very baffling, isn't it?
But well, you've spoke about this case loads of times because you've said that you've wanted to do it for ages and now
yeah, I
we've
think
finally done it.
It's one of those, isn't it, where they say he's the most...
famous missing person online.
Yeah, because
or
of that footage, you know?
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, it is quite harrowing footage, isn't it?
Well... I think if you were his relatives, you know, you'd just want to put your hand in and stop him, wouldn't you? Because, you know, once he leaves...
Or ask him what's going
area,
on. Like, why are you running? Why? What are you scared of?
To me, it was definite paranoia, but what caused the paranoia? Was it a head injury? Was there an actual event taking place where he was afraid for his life? I don't know.
Okay, I think we should wrap it up here for our first episode. So that was the first episode of Murder, Mother and More.
Thank you to those who joined our Patreon, and we're looking forward to our next episode, and we'll see you in a few weeks.
Guys, I just need everyone to know that my mum, I don't know if anyone watches Friends, but my mum is literally like Joey from Friends. I tell her to say something.
I don't know what you're talking about.
And it's like, je m'appelle Claude, and she goes, chubba blue, blah. Like, she just says something completely different, and
I
don't get it.
Yeah, no, my favourite episode of Friends when Joey does that is when he goes, he's supposed to say... What is it? No, I can't do
noodle
anything.
Soup.
Noodle soup.
And he goes,
chicken noodle soup.
Honestly, we go through the same pain. I go through the same pain of every episode that we do. I say, okay, Mum, just say, thanks everyone for listening. And she goes, okay, everyone, you've been here today and bye. Like, she just says something completely random.
Well, hang on a minute. Let's just go back a bit because you're not perfect, are you?
No, I'm not.
Because you can't literally say anything.
I can't speak because I've got a lisp because of my braces. But
you
my mum literally...
No, you can't speak anyway.
My mum literally needs a script word for word in front of her.
I do. And it's weird, really, because I can talk for England, but sometimes it's when you tell me to say something, you have to just let me go with it. And you tell me too many times and then I think I haven't got a clue what I'm talking about now.
Which is general.
Now I've forgotten what I'm supposed to say. Okay. Thanks, everyone. I don't know why you're laughing. Okay. Right, I'll do it now. Okay. Thanks, everyone, for listening to our first episode. And we'll see you again in a few weeks for our next one.
Okay, everyone. So we'll see you next time for more
murder, more mother,
and more me.